Hello, I'm Warwick Ashford with a roundup of IT news highlights brought to you by Computer Weekly. First, a countdown of the past week's five most popular stories on computerweekly.com. At number five, MOD spins out UFO X-Files with speedy redact technology. At number four, Hewlett-Packard slashes 3,400 UK EDS jobs. At number three, WePro predicts IT services shakeup. At number two, RIM's BlackBerry Storm rivals iPhone in touchscreen market. And in top spot, Accenture to cut hundreds of jobs. And in that story, management consultancy Accenture is to cut 300 to 400 jobs, many of which could be in IT. Accenture confirmed it would be making redundancies, but said the consultation process would determine whether they are from the Systems Integration and Technology Unit or from other parts of the business. And now for a look at some of the news analyses to be featured in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine. The catastrophic events in the UK financial services sector have forced many firms to rapidly change their IT strategies. Computer Weekly has been investigating how IT in other sectors has been affected or is likely to be affected by the credit crunch. Rebecca Thompson has been collating these findings. Rebecca, what are the most common expectations across the business sectors?
Well, most people expect budgets to be pretty flat next year. I think budgets have been set for the current year, so people think the real kind of effects of the crunch will be felt after about 3 to 6 months, and they do expect budgets to be sort of maintained at the level they're at now. They won't grow. A few people said they might shrink, and a lot of CIOs are expecting to have to do more with the money they've got. They think companies are going to ask them to come up with greater return on investment and also quicker return on investment as well.
What about the public sector? Are they likely to be affected in the same way?
Well, they don't rely on credit from banks in the same way that a lot of private sector businesses do, but they will be affected, albeit for slightly different reasons. A lot of councils obviously have money in Icelandic banks, which they've lost, and that's going to be exacerbated by the fact that the government has spent 500 billion on banks, so they're just not going to have that money available next year to spend on councils. So they expect tighter grants, they expect budgets all round to be tighter, possibly cut. One or two people said that council tax could rise as a result because councils just don't have very many ways of raising funds, so they definitely won't get out of it, they'll be affected as well.
Now, what picture emerged in terms of the number and type of IT projects that the various sectors are going to be tackling?
It's a bit early to say, and it will vary in different sectors, but largely people are going to be veering away from big transformational major change programs. Anything with too much risk, I think CIOs and IT departments are going to have to put really good business cases for anything that's non-essential. The companies are going to want just essential IT projects that just do exactly what's needed, and also ones that drive out cost, unnecessary cost and obvious cost. So it will be kind of smaller IT projects and possibly more essential ones rather than the non-essential ones.
Are any companies saying they're going to be tackling projects specifically aimed at reducing cost?
Possibly, yeah. A lot of companies are also holding back rather than cancelling projects at the moment. They're putting them on hold for a few months just to see what the situation's going to be. So again, it's a bit too early to say.
And what about job security? How secure are IT professionals feeling in different sectors?
It varies. I think in property, some of them are feeling a bit uncomfortable. The younger ones apparently are feeling more comfortable than the older ones because they have very transferable skills and they're less specialised, but that's obviously not going to be the case across the board. Obviously in the financial services, people are obviously going to be worried, and again it depends on the place that they actually work. In general though, I think people are still quite comfortable. I don't think it's kind of got to that level yet.
Last month saw a slew of reports on the future of high-speed networks in the UK. Ian Grant has been following this. Ian, what's at stake and what are the issues?
Well, in the long term, it's the future competitiveness of British businesses in the world economy. The businesses here want access to very high-speed networks in order for them to be able to communicate with their customers and their suppliers in a reliable, almost instantaneous way, and to know that when they send out a message, it will get to the other side in the shape that they want it to arrive. Doing this over a global network is extremely difficult, and you have lots and lots of ways to get it wrong. What we're hoping that Britain will do is that more and more businesses will be able to do many of these things locally. And we're thinking there are a number of trends that are happening. Businesses are trying to save money by consolidating all their data centers into one or two places where there's very good communications, and that implies high-speed broadband networks. And if Britain wants to compete in that market, then we need that infrastructure. If we don't get it, other countries which are currently installing broadband networks will be able to offer international investors or international companies those facilities, and Britain might lose the business.
Why would we not get it?
The existing network owners are effectively BT and Virgin Media. They are the only people with physical networks capable of these, of producing these very, very high-speed networks. And when I say high-speed, we're talking about 50 megabits a second in Virgin Media's case and a gigabit a second or more in BT's case. The only other network operators who have equivalent reach, which basically goes down to individual consumers or homes, are the mobile telephony network operators. But the maximum speeds they can expect to get over the next 5 years is only about 100 megabits a second, and that's a hundredth of the speeds that BT can offer.
So what needs to happen, though, for us to be in the position that you said we need to be?
Right. In order to get low prices, fast rollout, and good reliability and good service from BT and Virgin Media, many of the network operators are suggesting that access to BT's and Virgin Media's networks be made open access, and where there's not competitive equivalence, for the prices to be regulated. It's a moot point whether or not two core network operators will ever produce sufficient competition, and therefore there is a strong suggestion that Ofcom should say that to BT and Virgin Media that their networks should be made open under the right conditions, under regulated conditions, and made available to all comers at a regulated price.
How likely is it that Ofcom will do that?
Ofcom is in consultation mode at the moment. The consultation, our responses to the consultation, close on the 2nd of December, and Ofcom is expected to make an announcement early in the new year. It may be spring, summer.
If Ofcom decides to open the networks, who will be the winners and who will be the losers?
The immediate winners will be the smaller network operators, because they will have access to BT and Virgin Media's networks. That will enable them to offer their own services over those networks. It will also allow them to interconnect the networks that they are currently building for their own customers, the smaller regional networks, and that should improve the rollout, the speed of the rollout of broadband access to many more people than we could expect to see either from BT or from Virgin alone. Going on from that, the people in the cities are likely to benefit from higher speed services in the fact that they can get high definition TV downloaded in very, very short time. They can do video phoning at much more reliable rates, and the frames will be much less jerky when you talk to somebody. In general, there should be fewer interruptions, because fiber networks are inherently more reliable than copper networks, so all around the service should improve. Now, for businesses, access to that extra capacity should enable them to be much more flexible in terms of where they site their backup sites, where they put their data centers, and also how they communicate with their end users and their customers. If the whole country is permeated by high-speed broadband, then there's no telling what might be delivered over those networks and what kind of conversations they might encourage with their consumers. I think all round that is going to be a fantastic show.
You can find these articles and more IT-related news in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine, or online at computerweekly.com.